Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or carbs or fat grams or anything. No more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health, all without ever going on another diet. Now, if you'd like to call in and talk with me, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. We had a little bit of technical difficulty last week, but everything is fine now, so I would love to hear from you. Give me a call whenever you get a chance. So, why is it important to lose weight without dieting? Well, I'll tell you. Diets fail because on some level they are always about deprivation, and deprivation always leads to overeating or even binging. And that's because the anticipation of not being able to eat what you want will make you want it more. And if you're thinking about not having pizza or pasta or ice cream or chips or whatever, then you've got pizza or pasta or ice cream or chips on your brain all day, and that puts the focus on the wrong thing, which is what you're eating, instead of why. So ultimately, diets fail because they only deal with food. Diets do not address the underlying conflicts that make you turn to food in the first place. They don't deal with what's eating at you. Remember, food, when it comes to emotional eating or something like that, not you know, eating to live, food is a temporary solution to a problem you may or may not be aware of. And when you can identify what that underlying problem is, whether what that conflict is or that emotion or whatever's going inside that's leading you to use eating something as a way of comforting or distracting yourself, solving the problem, when you find another way to solve that problem, another solution other than food, you're going to liberate yourself for once and all. That way, you never have to go on another diet ever again, and you lose weight without even trying. It sounds like a dream, but I am telling you, it is reality for so many people who give up dieting and embrace this new way. It's truly transformative. So that's what I'm here to talk to you guys about. And you know, I wanted to start off with a Facebook message that I got from someone named Belinda. And she says, I feel as if I can't accept my body unless it's perfect, and it is far from perfect. What are your suggestions on how I can feel better about my body while I'm in the process of losing weight? Well, Belinda, first of all, I have to say there's no such thing as a perfect body. Everyone's body is far from perfect because perfection does not actually exist. And even if it did, it's not going to bring you a perfect life. But if you'd like to feel good about your body, if you'd like to feel good in your body, I can definitely give you some tips. So I'm going to start with a saying from the Buddha. The Buddha says, cherish your body. It is yours this one time only. Simple and powerful. Cherish your body. It is yours this one time only. So many people, like Belinda, yearn to have a different body while ignoring the ones that they have. Our culture has no shortage of people, men as well as women, waging war against their bodies. You know, social media is filled with photos of people who are doing fad diets, who are starving themselves, going to all kinds of extreme measures, desperate to change their weight and their appearance. And all too often, we hold ourselves up to this ideal of physical perfection, again, whatever perfection is, and we find fault with ourselves when we fail to meet that goal. And again, it's true of guys, too. One of my male patients said he saw this quote that really spoke to him, and the quote was, "It's just as hard to be Ken as it is to be Barbie." So to create a more peaceful and realistic way of relating to ourselves, we've got to challenge the idea that there's only one good way to have a body so we can cherish, as the Buddha recommends, cherish as well as nurture the body we have. So first tip that I have for Belinda and anyone out there who's feels the same as she does, appreciate yourself. Now, what do I mean by yourself? A lot of people, when they think of their self, they only think of the person in the mirror, the image that they see in the mirror. And yet, we are so much more than our size and our appearance. You know, I had a woman once who told me that she was the queen of self-care. The queen of self-care. And she did not understand why she still felt so bad about herself, because she was taking such good care of herself. So I said, well, what are you doing to take such great care of yourself? You know, your worship? Tell me. And she said she got manicures and pedicures and facials and massages on a regular basis. I mean, everything you can think of. Well, I told her, that's not self-care. That's grooming. So her challenge was to realize that there was more to her, more to all of us, than meets the eye. So always keep in mind, yes, you have a body. You also have a mind, a soul. There's a person in your body. You're not just your body. There are intellectual parts, emotional, relational, creative, spiritual parts of yourself, a whole range of other qualities that make you the person you are. So make it a point to identify, embrace, and nurture all parts of yourself, because they all need your appreciation. And when you feel good about your whole self, you don't need to be as focused on your weight as a way to define yourself. Anyone have any thoughts about this? I would welcome hearing from you. Again, the number is 818-602-4929. All right, my second tip is to listen to your body. The human body is amazing and has so much to communicate. We just need to be able to listen. So when we really tune into our bodies, we learn to recognize our needs. Your body will tell you what kind of food it requires. It really will, if you listen. Some people say, oh, if I listen to my body, it's going to tell me I need, you know, pasta or cake. No, not true. That's emotional eating. But when you really tune into your body, you can learn to discern, do you need protein, do you need carbs? What are you really hungry for physically? Your body will tell you what kind of exercise you need, what kind of sleep you need. And what is the surefire way of disconnecting from your body, not being able to hear what your body is telling you? What is the one thing that you can do to disconnect from your body? I'll tell you, it is being on a diet. Diets fail for reasons that are both physical and psychological. So I went over some of the psychological parts a little bit ago, but from a physical standpoint, diets are restrictive, which leads to hunger and also slows your metabolism. Because when you don't get enough calories, your metabolism gets more efficient. So it needs fewer calories to keep everything going. And when you go off the diet, you gain weight because now you need fewer calories just for maintenance. And again, in terms of the psychology of eating, diets fail because they're about deprivation, which always leads to overeating or binging. And again, there's a reason you're turning to food. It could be wanting comfort, distraction, numbing out, symbolically filling an inner emptiness. You can even eat until you're in physical pain as a way of unconsciously converting emotional pain to physical. The good news is when you stop dieting and start responding to yourself in a new way, with food that is healthy and nourishing and with a kind and loving attitude, you're going to stop using food for comfort or distraction. And then your weight can stabilize to the point that is most healthy for your body, which is different for everyone. Again, no such thing as a perfect body, no one way to have a body. Okay, I have one more tip, which is accept your emotions. Now, accepting your body may sound like, well, how does accepting your emotions make you accept your body? But I'll tell you, in treating thousands of men and women all over the world in my private practice, on my online program, Kick the Diet Habit, I have seen a major commonality. Oh, hold that thought. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina. Who's this?
Hey, Dr. Nina, it's Brian from Chicago again. How are you?
Hi, Brian from Chicago. It's good to hear from you.
Good to talk with you. I have definitely become a fan. I've been getting so much from listening to your show and, you know, reading the stuff you've put out and your programs. It's all been very helpful. So here I am again, because I also just really enjoy talking to you.
Well, I'm so glad you're calling, Brian. I enjoy talking with you as well.
So this is maybe more of a philosophical question than a practical question, or even like a question that's directly related to, you know, analysis or therapy or weight loss. But my question is, you know, all the different issues that you talk about, that you've written about and speak about publicly, have to do with positively motivating people to change in some way, to move from the place they are, which is a place where it's creating emotional difficulty and physical issues, and it may be tied to things that have happened to them, to a different place, to evolve in some way. And everybody has different issues, so everybody has a different path to follow to make that change. So, but my question, just kind of out of curiosity, is what do you think actually causes people to change? You know, what is it? What's the character trait or the dynamic that they have to either tap into that they already have, or get it if they don't have it, that gives them the strength and the ability and the knowledge to make a change?
Wow, that is a really great question, very thought-provoking, and of course applies not only to changing your attitude towards food or weight loss, but really in life, because so many people feel stuck, and that's why there are so many kinds of sayings like, you know, change does not happen in your comfort zone, or, you know, to if you want something different to happen, you got to do something different. Or I'm not exactly quoting that one correctly, but I think you know it. You know what I mean.
So I think I do.
So I think that there is a sort of a global answer to that, which is that when the pain of staying where you are is worse than the potential unknown pain of changing, you will change. You know, when it's worse, whatever it is that you're going through is untenable and worse than any possible thing that could happen, then you're going to make a change.
Okay.
So specifically to with regards to, you know, weight loss and making a change. So that's like, why do people change? Because they realize that where they are is no longer acceptable, and it doesn't matter how scary a change will be, it's better than where they are. But then, okay, then how do you affect change, which I think is also your question. And I'll tell you that one of the things that I see across the board is people have a very mean relationship to themselves. Last week I was talking about, I don't know if you were listening, but last week I was talking about my 8-day restart challenge. And one of the things that I heard over and over and over from people that were doing that challenge with me on Facebook was they didn't realize how mean they were to themselves. Mm. And so they were on the challenge to lose weight without dieting, and what they discovered was the reason they were turning to food was because they were so harsh, so critical, so mean, harsher with themselves than they would ever dream of being with another person, that they were using food to escape themselves, really. So The key to change is really to develop a very different attitude towards yourself, instead of self-critical, self-compassionate, instead of, I like to say, be curious, not critical. Because when you're curious, you're more likely to find answers to the questions. Mm-hmm. And if you say, why did I eat those cookies? Oh my God, that's critical. And what's going to happen? You're going to feel really terrible. And then you're probably more likely to eat more cookies because you say, oh, I feel so terrible, I need to feel better, and I've already eaten some, I've ruined my day, so I'm just going to have the rest of the box or whatever. So that's critical. But if you say to yourself, huh, I wonder why I ate those cookies. What was going on with me that made me turn to cookies? Was I feeling sad? Was I feeling upset? What's going on with me? That's curious. You're more likely to find an answer and then address it in a different way.
And I'm guessing that I've noticed this sometimes when I exercise, because usually when I exercise, it's not a solo thing. It's usually in a class setting or something like that. And how you look at yourself and how you critique yourself or evaluate yourself kind of changes from when you're private with yourself versus when you're in front of other people, because you can see the look on their face like, dude, you're really hard on yourself. And then you kind of hear your own voice and go, oh, I think I must be. And I think that you've spoken about or written about that, like, if you're going to speak to yourself, imagine that it's a friend saying to you what you're about to say to yourself. Would a real friend say something like that? And it kind of helps you retrain yourself to just not take that tone with yourself all the time.
Exactly. One of the things that I teach people is to speak about themselves from a first-person standpoint. Like, even what you just said when you were talking about being at the gym, you were talking in second person. You know, when you go to the... Not to put you on the spot, Brian, but just to just to point out how easy it is to fall into that. Well, you were saying when you... I can't quote you directly, but, you know, when you go to the gym and you're really hard on yourself, and then people around you tell you, you're really hard on yourself, and then you said, oh, and then I realized, I guess I am. So, you know, you switched from, oh, you're really hard on yourself, to, oh, I guess I am. What if you said, I go to the gym, and I work out, and I realize how hard I am on myself, and then other people, it puts it more, you could feel it more within you. So the way that you talk to yourself is really powerful. When you say to yourself, you know, you can do better. Even if you're being nice, you can do better. Okay, but when you say I can do better, you know, I can do better, it has more resonance and more power, and you can feel it in your body. You is kind of outside your body. It's like a theoretical construct. It's a floating around in space. I comes from within and has a charge and has power. And so one of the things that I teach people to, getting back to your question, how to change, is change the way that you talk to yourself, not just the words, but the tone, the attitude. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, people will say horrible things about themselves. They'll be like, I ate pizza last night. I'm horrible. I'm never going to lose. I'm the worst. I have no willpower. I suck. And I said, well, if your friend said to you, hey, I had pizza last night. I had more pizza than I wanted. But would you say to your friend, oh my God, you suck. You're awful. You're the worst. And they always look horrified. I would never say such a thing to my friend. Then why are you saying it to yourself?
And maybe that kind of bringing it back to the beginning of the conversation, maybe that's part of how you affect change for yourself is, you know, if you're going to change like a dynamic that's affecting your life, maybe you also have to change how you see yourself in relation to that dynamic so you can, you know, I think the kinder you are to yourself, the easier time you're going to have to do something difficult.
Exactly. And actually, you bring up something you just said sparked something that I want to share, which is that a lot of people think when they lose weight, they're going to feel better about themselves. But actually, someone just posted this in my Sweeten Your Life Challenge while we're all doing the program together, and she wrote, oh, I always thought that I would feel better about myself when I lost weight, but maybe it's the other way around. Maybe when I feel better about myself, I'm going to lose weight. And exactly. Right. We have to stop thinking that this when I lose weight, when I get this, when I, whatever it is that the when is for you, then life is going to change. It has to come from within first, and everything follows from that. So your relationship to yourself is the key to whatever change you want to make.
Yeah. And I guess I would just say, like, you know, for the benefit of other people who are listening, you know, I know that if I'm setting out goals for myself that are hard or that are a little bit anxiety producing, but I'm doing it as part of a group, I just feel so much better about my chances to get there. So if you're, you know, I know you do these programs, and it sounds like one of these programs is like kind of a group thing. If people are sort of feeling like, I'm not sure, should I do this? If you do it as part of a group, I think you have a better chance of having a good experience. So that's been my experience. Doing hard things in a group, you just bond with each other and get each other through it. And for the hard things, you need that. I don't know if I can do hard things on my own, but I know I can do them if there are other people kind of all rallying together. So it's cool that you're making that kind of thing available, because it's scary stuff, right? It's scary stuff to, like, say, I think I need to change my life. That's hard.
It's hard to look inside. It's much easier to go on a diet and say, I shouldn't eat that. I should eat that. That is a lot easier than it is to dig deep. But digging deep is the only thing that will free you from this, from the mode of whatever is causing you to feel terrible about yourself or not as good about yourself as you could. So. Yeah, exactly. I find, and that's why I love doing this show, because even though it's not a group, I think that there's something about other people hearing other people describe things that they can relate to, makes them feel not so alone. And when you realize that, hey, other people are struggling with the very same things that you're struggling with, there's something very comforting and relieving about that.
Yeah, it definitely is. I find that too. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Brian. I'm glad you called, and feel free to call back and let us know how you're doing or any other questions you have. I look forward to hearing from you.
Well, I definitely will. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Brian from Chicago always asks such thought-provoking, interesting questions. Okay, where was I? I was talking about the third tip. My third tip was to accept your emotions. So one reason that people have a hard time feeling their feelings is that our culture says don't feel your feelings. Feelings are bad and scary. Like, you know how that goes. If you're angry, oh, you need anger management classes. If you're sad, oh, you're depressed. You're depressed. You need antidepressants. Obviously, some people are depressed and some people do need antidepressants, but, you know, there's also such thing as having sadness as a reaction to circumstance. Sadness is part of the normal range of human emotions, as is anger, as is anxiety, but we have a pill for that too. Even happiness. Ooh, maybe you're a little too happy, hypomanic, something like that. Feelings are pathologized. So we're told that we're weak if we feel our feelings, and we are strong if we don't. But it takes a lot of strength to feel difficult, painful emotions, doesn't it? I mean, it's hard to feel painful things. It's easy to say, I'm not feeling that. It's a lot. Why is it the opposite? Why do we say it's the opposite? Why do we say, oh, cut yourself off from your feelings and you're strong? No. That's taking the weenie way out. It's real strength. I don't even think that I've ever used that word ever before in my life, but for some reason it just came out of my mouth. But that's just, it's a cowardly way out. Okay, I have another caller. Hold that thought. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How can I help you?
I've just got some concerns about my everyday, my eating. I just recently lost like a lot of weight, like 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I've been on like a program doing this. And
Can I ask what kind of program it is?
Yeah, it's the Weight Watcher program.
Okay.
And you're only allowed like a certain amount of points per day, and they just changed the program, so it's really hard for me to stay within the point range.
You know, I used to say that the only I am not a fan of diets. Never trust a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die, right? Not a fan of diets for reasons that I've been talking about on the show. But the one program, diet, whatever you want to call it, was Weight Watchers, because what I liked about Weight Watchers, the one program that I felt it was okay for people to be on, is that they allowed you to have anything. There was no deprivation. So are you saying that when they changed the point program, I'm assuming that you now have fewer points than you had before?
Yeah, I have fewer points because there's a lot more items, that foods that we are allowed to have that are considered free, like zero, like eggs, and I don't really eat a lot of eggs.
So how is this?
And certain,
so what's been going on since they changed the point program?
Well, like, I'm having a hard time staying within my range, and I'm going over the points, and I feel like I'm gaining weight back, and it's just not working out for me as well as it was the old way.
So what do you think is different? What, from your attitude? Like, when you had more points, were you able to think about, okay, what am I hungry for? What do I want? And now it's about, now are you more focused on how many points versus what's
exactly yeah, it's hard to stay in the range because I feel like some of the stuff I'm eating now that I used to eat before counts as more points now because they made certain things 0 points where you can eat like unlimited eggs and beans and certain things like that are considered free now.
So if I understand you correctly, the free foods are not the foods you'd necessarily want to have. So even though the program says, hey, you get all these free foods, which is why we're giving you fewer points, because
exactly.
Those foods are not something you want to eat, you feel deprived, restricted, deprived.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
Go ahead.
No, you. I'd rather hear from you.
I want to hear what you have to say because you're so interesting, and I want to see what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I didn't want to cut you off, which is why I stopped. But this is really what I was talking about before, which is that the anticipation of deprivation makes you want something more. So it actually disconnects you from what your body wants or what you allow yourself to have. And when you feel deprived or you feel guilty because you went over the points, then those feelings lead to actually using food for some kind of comfort or distraction or something, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't want to presume that. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Yeah. Is there any way that you can just follow the old program?
It's really difficult because, I have the app that I use, and certain things, like the whole thing has changed now with the different values of how much each thing counts for, that each type of food. It's really hard to do the old way. Mm-hmm. It's really hard too, because I keep track of the foods I eat, and it wouldn't be accurate if I was doing that.
I see. So, how many points did you have before, and how many points do you have now?
In the past I had 30, and now I only get 23.
That is almost a third fewer than you had. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And is there any way that you can, just say give yourself 28 points or something like that, or go back to 30? Because you know that worked for you?
I started doing stuff like that, and I feel like I'm gaining weight from it now.
Mm.
It's a problem. And then my mom just recently joined, and I'm trying to help her, and she's joined and then doesn't like the program because it doesn't work for her, and this is like her third or fourth time coming back to the program.
So your mom keeps coming and going?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And wants me to be like her support and help her. And it's hard for me because they just changed the program, and I'm having trouble with the points changing, and now I have to deal with her, helping her out, and that's, you know, I know that it's just like a temporary thing with her, that she's probably going to flake out again and not do it. And
Sherry, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, so I'm hearing that you've got to take care of your mom and help her do a program that you're struggling with to try to figure out yourself, this new mode that you're in. What are your feelings about having to take care of your mom, knowing that even though you're investing time in helping her, she's likely, from what you say, going to bail on you anyway? What do you feel about that?
I feel frustrated.
And what do you do with your frustration?
Really, I'm in a bad mood and just feel like tired and just really anxious, and kind of like we can get into an argument or fight easily if we stay on the phone and talk about it too much, and then that'll lead to all kinds of other things that we could fight about that has nothing to do with the weight loss program.
Right. Well, it has to do with power and the power dynamic, and having to take care of your mother rather than be taken care of by her. So is it possible that either you might be literally stuffing some of those feelings, or being frustrated with yourself, or frustrated with the program, rather than maybe express, not to her. When I say express your feelings, I don't mean express them to the person who's making you feel that way. In some cases, that will do nothing. But do you think there's a correlation between your frustration with this weight gain you said, and your frustration with your mom, and your frustration with the program?
Yeah, I do. I'm really getting frustrated with the whole dynamics of it.
And which
I kind of just like don't know what to do.
Yeah. So what do you, you attribute this weight gain to going on a higher point level than what they suggest?
Yes.
Is it possible that over the holidays, or, you know, during this last period of time when everything's about food, and maybe food and family, one triggers the other. Is it
that's true.
Yeah. What is your like sort of bad, quote unquote, bad food?
Well, I have this problem where I like to eat ice cream every single night. And the ice cream that I've been eating was okay before they changed the points. I thought it was. And now I looked into it now with the new program, and it's not okay.
Okay.
So I really think I need to cut out my ice cream.
Well, but I would say if it was okay before and you lost 40 pounds, and it's not okay now, and I'd be looking not at whether you're going to eat ice cream or not eat ice cream or how much or whatever. I'd look at why. Because it's one thing to have ice cream, you know, for after dinner, for dessert or whatever. I mean, there's nothing wrong with ice cream, but could you be soothing yourself emotionally because ice cream is associated with comfort? By the way, are there any crunchy things in this ice cream?
Well, it depends on the flavor. Sometimes there is. If I have the peanut butter one, there's crunchiness in that one.
So the reason I ask is because lots of people say that they are triggered by food, but really they're triggered in some way that they may or may not be aware of or may or may not want to, you know, deal with. So they push it down, and then they turn to whatever food for comfort, escape, whatever. So ice cream is associated with a need for comfort, which you would hope you would get maybe from your mom, but it does not sound like you are. And anything crunchy is associated with anger, frustration, irritation, annoyance. So think of this ice cream as a sign from you to you that you need some kind of comfort in words.
Very interesting.
Do you have
kids? That makes sense.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I have two grown kids.
Okay.
One's in college and one just recently graduated.
Ooh, congratulations.
College.
Wow.
Thank you.
Which could also be leave you empty if they've just gone off to college and, you know, that whole empty nest thing. I mean, mm-hmm. the things things have changed, right? So I'm assuming. How would you comfort your sons is also a good thing to think about. Like, what if they're upset, if your son in college is like, oh, I got a really bad grade on my exam, you wouldn't say, here, have some ice cream. You'd say some words.
Yeah, that's very true. I would definitely handle a bad grade differently than asking him if he wanted ice cream. For sure.
Yeah. So the key is to ask, you know, ask yourself what it is that you are really feeling and needing. And even if you can't figure it out, that food mood formula helps you. So smooth and creamy with some occasional crunch, need for comfort. So how else can you comfort yourself with words other than ice cream?
Right. That does make a lot of sense. I guess I need to get to the bottom of that and figure out what I can do.
And it also sounds like there's some kind of, I don't know, power thing going on with your mom. And that might be, mm-hmm. that might be activating all kinds of other feelings that need your attention. It's easier to focus on ice cream than it is to say, oh, I'm upset about, you know, my mom, or I'm upset about this or that. It's harder. But mm-hmm. but it's the only way to deal with it for good. You know? So otherwise right. you're focused on the wrong right. thing, which is ice cream. And it's not, ice cream's a solution to a problem. Ice cream is not the problem. And all of this lowered points is certainly making you feel deprived, which is probably disconnecting you from your ability to eat intuitively.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. I guess I have some thinking I need to do.
Well, I know it's food for thought, and you think about it and feel free to call me back and let me know, you know, how you're doing and what's going on. But I can certainly understand how frustrating and maybe helpless you feel that something that was really working for a while isn't working, and that you have to, at a time when maybe you need some TLC or some care or some understanding, some guidance, you're having to give that to your mom, who does not, from what you're saying, really take it to heart. So have some compassion for yourself.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Sherry, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. And again, please let me know how you're doing.
I will. And thanks a lot for really taking the time to put that in perspective for me. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Oh, I feel for her. But that example of, you know, the lowered points, that's deprivation. And deprivation messes with your mind. All right, so I have a little bit of time left. I am going to finish my answer to Belinda. Okay, feelings. So we're told we're weak if we feel our feelings and strong if we don't. Again, totally backwards. It takes strength to deal with painful, difficult emotions. As we just saw from Sherry's call, it was clearly very painful to think about, you know, what's going on with her mom. Even though she's more focused on ice cream, seemed like, you know, something else was really, really bothering her. And it's hard to look at that. Sometimes we feel guilty for having feelings towards people we think we're only supposed to have loving, wonderful feelings. But what happens to those feelings we don't allow ourselves to feel? Because we can't stuff feelings down, we can't starve them away, we can't drink them away, gamble them away, work them away. We cannot let them go. Oh, that's a good one. Cannot let feelings go. You cannot positive think them away. The only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. And I see Nick is calling. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I know you just have a little time left, but this thing, I just want to explain something to you that I discovered. I have this friend who needs this procedure done on her, and she's got to go in the hospital, and it's both of us kind of nervous about it. But I noticed that we went to the doctor, and the doctor said when we're going to have the procedure and what we're going to do. And we were leaving. We got in the car, and I'm saying, oh, it's going to be Friday. And, you know, so Thursday night she's got to go and take these medicines before she goes into the hospital. And then here's Wednesday night. And the first thing I said to her was, here, let's go to this restaurant. You love this restaurant. It'll really be nice. We can eat your favorite food there, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm. And I realized after I said it, I was my mother telling us kids, oh, you guys did great. Let's go out for dinner tonight. Let's go get Chinese food, you know?
That's really perceptive. Food as comfort.
It's like I said, that was, I mean, I, that's not the right thing to do, it said to me. But you know, like treating her special because she's having an operation, or that's how I'm dealing with the situation. And it really hit me, and I said, God, you know, I thought I got over a lot of these things with my parents and food and so on. And here it is, feeling like I am. And this pops me up in the face, slaps me in the face, that I'm acting like my parents.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? It's like we don't even realize that we've internalized certain ideas until we find ourselves saying the things that they said. I've got
exactly.
This thing in my office. It says sometimes when I open my mouth, my mother comes out. So yeah, but good for you for realizing in the moment what you were doing and recognizing that inopportune time to have a coughing attack. Let me just have a sip of water. Hold on. So you realize in that moment how you were conditioned to respond to worry, fear, anxiety, something with food as the special treat that was going to make it go away.
I did it with my kids, and I thought that was all done. And it wasn't all done. It's really strange, but like you say, I recognize it, and now I'm really aware of it, and it's crazy. You think you won the war, but you didn't. Maybe I won a little battle here, but the war still goes on.
Well, but it's more of a skirmish now, and maybe not so much of a war. So instead of looking at it like, I can't believe I'm still thinking that, like I'm still in the battleground, say, wow, good for me for recognizing in the moment, not afterwards, in the moment.
Absolutely.
What was going on.
Absolutely.
That shows.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that with you.
I'm so glad you did. And we're fine. I have 5 more minutes. So anything else you want to...
Go get number 3.
You know what? I don't think... I think you are number 3. You are the number 3 caller. And so if you'd like to... you're number 3. If you'd like to share anything else, you know?
No, that was on my mind, and I wanted to get across to you and say that. And that's what I think about all morning, and I wanted to make sure I could get across. But just dealing with the procedure that Chris has to go through, we're both a little nervous about it, but, we know it'll go fine. But, whenever there's a change in a medical procedure...
Scary.
Scary, a little nervous, Stranger things have happened,
So, Nick, I just
think of that,
What can you say to yourself, what can you say to her and to yourself that is encouraging and supportive other than going out to dinner?
Oh, well, I can just tell her how much I care for her, and everything is going to be all right. We have the support from the doctors. I feel it's an easy procedure, and that I'm going to be here when you come back. I'm here now when you go away and for surgery, and everything's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. You have my support, and I love you. And that's all I think I could say.
I think that's a beautiful thing to say to her. What are you saying to yourself?
I'm a nervous wreck, because I think crazy things happen, you think this is crazy. I'm thinking about that guy who caught that touchdown pass to win the football game the other day, and crazy things happen. So I don't know what's happening. I'm sure she's going to be fine, but I'm just nervous.
Okay.
Things happen.
Yes, but keep this in mind. When you hear hoofbeats, it's usually horses, not zebras. It's usually the obvious thing, not the bizarre thing. Right.
Right.
Tell yourself, of course, acknowledge that you're scared. It's scary. Even though the surgeons say whatever, it's still scary. So acknowledge, this is scary. It's always, there's this uncertainty and it's scary. But statistically, the odds are, really in her favor that everything is going to come out great, but it's still scary and you're just going to have to get through, the time of the surgery. But don't scare yourself with what could happen, because that's what if, that's fear, that's zebras. Stay with what is, what the surgeon said. What you know about with what is, not with what if.
Right.
And I wish her all the best. When is this surgery?
Friday morning.
Friday morning. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm sending healing thoughts, and I hope, but most of all, you take you're taking great care of your friend, you also take care of yourself. And remember, horses, not zebras.
Okay, horses, not zebras. You got it.
Okay, thanks for calling
in,
Nick. I'm so happy to hear of your insightful reflection, and I am sure everything is going to be fine on Friday.
I'm sure, too. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. Also, as I mentioned earlier, I'm doing a 30-day challenge, the Sweeten Your Life Challenge, for members of my Kick the Diet Habit community, which is my online program to help you heal your relationship to food, stop obsessing about your weight, and end the binge diet cycle once and for all. If you'd like to join us, go to kickthediethabit.com and sign up, and then you can get exclusive access to the Facebook community. There's also a discount code, SELFLOVE50, which will give you a special price. I hope to see you there. If not, next week. Have a great week, everyone.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.